Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight is the 2022 Fun Drive edition of the show. CITR offers a unique blend of programming across an extensive range of musical genres, as well as a blend of topical spoken word programming. This is made possible with support from our listeners. This year's Fun Drive goal is $25,000. You can do your part by visiting CITR.ca/donate. I'll be serving up a greatest hits edition of the show featuring some amazing interviews from this past year. Full track lists for these can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's kick things off with my interview from local vocalist and producer, Tim Fuller. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Tim Fuller, a veteran of the funk, R&B, and house music scenes. He's been collaborating and producing music since the 1980s, and he continues to do so to this day. He's been released on a number of prominent labels, Nordic Tracks, Defected, Bombay, and Left Room Records. He's collaborated with some heavyweights of the house and electronic music scene, Ian Pooley of Groove Armada, Miguel Miggs, and Spirit Catcher. He's even performed for Prince Charles and the late Princess Diana. So it's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Tim Fuller. Can you give me a sense of your early musical background in terms of interests, influences, and projects you were a part of?
Well, I think the first... A group I was in was an a cappella group back in 1987. It's called the Melloids. It was four-part harmony. I did that for about 8 years, and we did a bunch of tours, did a record. And then I got into R&B and funk with a band called VOC. We did a record in the 90s. And then I got into house music. Probably mid-90s, I met Luke McKeon from Nordic Track, and I think I did a B-side for him. And then later on, I met DJ Ali through Alvaro Pearl from Blueprint Productions, and started working with DJ Ali, and soon after, I met Sean, probably within probably a couple of weeks. So that's pretty much where it started. It's just been going on ever since.
You moved around a lot growing up. What role did that play in your musical interests?
I think not a whole lot, but my parents were into all sorts of different types of music. So they were into everything from R&B to classical. And I took classical piano when I was young. So writing was always a thing. We had a piano in the house. So I was always tinkering with it. I played drums for a while, from the time I was in seventh grade till the time I was a junior in high school. And then I got into choir when I moved into the lower mainland here.
Can you tell me about a moment when you realized that this was more than just a passion and a hobby and was actually going to be a legitimate career for you?
I honestly believe that that was probably when I did my first concert with the Melloids, we were called, and I stepped out on stage and there was 400 or 500 screaming people. I went, oh yeah, this is for me. Yeah, my parents weren't too excited at the time, but after I started touring, and doing concerts and stuff like that, they came around.
Part of a funk and R&B act titled Soul Stream. With COVID altering the musical landscape, how are you and the band coping, and are you having to find alternative ways to perform?
Yeah, well, Soul Stream, we did a Monday and Tuesday night down at Bar None for probably about 16 years or so. Lately, we've been doing a lot more corporate gigs, stuff like that. I mean, the band's been around for a long time. Everybody sort of has, you know, alternate things to do. In terms of musically, I would say. But yeah, it's been difficult. It's pretty much shut down everything music-wise in the city. I think that Gilt & Co. and the second floor of Water Street, really, those are the only venues, maybe the Tangent. Yeah, it's pretty much shut down everything. It hasn't bothered me all that much. I kind of needed a break, and it doesn't bother me all that much. I'm looking forward to when things start kicking up. You know, hopefully sometime in the middle end of the summer or into fall next year.
Okay, earlier on you mentioned forming relationships with Sean Dimitri and DJ Ali. When you are producing tracks with people like that, how does the collaboration process work for you? So do you tell them lyrics? Do they ask you to make lyrics? Or is the whole thing a 50-50 sort of deal?
Yeah, usually it's 50-50. Sometimes I'll tinker around with some parts, but for the most part, Sean and Ali, a lot of times they have the tracks already done. I'm a singer-songwriter anyway, so I write lyrics, melodies. It's my thing. So it was a good union, and that's pretty much how I work with every DJ, Fred Everything and Migs included, and newer guys, Yogi and Husky from Random Soul, and Spirit Catchers, and Derek Carter. Right? No, pretty much they send me the track and I do my thing.
Okay, and then how does that work? Do they usually say, oh, I like it right off the hop, or as they say, there's things that you need to adjust? And
yeah, you know what, these days not so much. You know, I just did a track with Matt Tolfrey not too long ago. Basically what I'll do is I call it throwing in the kitchen sink, and yeah, so I'll just throw as many parts, because I know DJs, producers, they like cutting stuff in and out and making it also their own, making it flow with the music. So I might have an idea, but I have a lot of them, so a lot of times I'll just throw in the kitchen sink and they can pick out what they like, right? It usually works out pretty good.
Are listening to the Fun Drive edition of Techno Progressivo. The station relies on listeners to allow us to continue offering a unique blend of musical and spoken word programs. I encourage you to donate at citr.ca/donate. That was a snippet of my interview with Tim Fuller. On to my interview with American producer Labelski. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy.
When you are producing, which DAW do you work with?
I know a bit of everything, but Ableton's my main one.
Okay.
Started off with Reason and Logic and Pro Tools, and I know a bit about Cubase and Studio One and a few others, but Ableton is just really amazing, very incredible tool.
Okay, and then within Ableton, are you using their VSTs or their plugins, or are you using external stuff as well?
I have a lot of analog gear. I've got the Dave Smith Sequential Circuits Prophet 6. I've got the OB6. I've got a Moog Sub-37. I've got a large modular rig. I've got turntables in here for sampling vinyl, an analog drum synthesizer by Vermona, some outboard effects as well, like the Sherman Filter Bank. But I use a bit of everything. It really just depends on what I'm doing. I try to stick to the Ableton plugins as much as I can, just for the sake of saving my CPU. But there's, you know, Waves, Fab Filter, Isotope, Artoria's boutique plugins that have all the old synthesizers like the Jupiter and the Juno 106 and all that stuff. So I use everything, anything I can get my hands on, really.
When you start producing or sitting down to make music, do you typically have a track in mind in your head, or do you just kind of muck around and see where that takes you?
I don't think I've gone into a project with a track in mind, unless it's like a remix or an edit. Most of the time, it's happy accidents for me. I go in and I just feel it out. It's like, oh, I like that. And then I rip off of that. So sometimes I'll have like an hour-long jam on my modular rig, or I'll just throw in a bunch of random MIDI notes and just run it through one of my other synthesizers and just see what comes up and just figure it out from there. I'm really a firm believer in treating it more as a discipline as opposed to like when the inspiration strikes. So it's this kind of workflow really works best for me, to just let it happen. Sort of a Jackson Pollock of making house music.
When you started out, what aspect of production was most challenging for you?
I think the mixing aspect of it all still gets me, because there's so many ways to do it. And, you know, having the right speaker set up and the right interface and knowing how to reference your songs and knowing how things are supposed to sound was something that was a very long process for me. I started making house music when I was 14, and I don't think I really started to understand what dance music was supposed to sound like mix wise until I was maybe 21
Last March, on Friday the 13th, you released your album Universal Groove. How did you approach developing an album concept compared to how you would approach making EPs and remixes and things like that?
Well, doing an album was something I'd always wanted to do. I felt like any serious artist has released bodies of work as opposed to just constantly slipping out singles and EPs, which I was very used to. I felt like it was important for me as my development as an artist to do that. I had a lot of collaborative works with vocalists that I felt fit together, and they all kind of circled around some of the same conceptual aspects of each other, like ideas of love and self-love and that sort of thing. And they just kind of fit together, and I felt like it was the right time to do it.
How do you collaborate with a vocalist? Do you have lyrics in mind, or do you let them bring what they have to the mix, or what's your approach?
I feel like that's also really interesting, because I work with vocalists differently depending on who it is. The way I record my own vocals is I might just grab a microphone and just sing a melody, and then or a few different melodies depending on if it's like a chorus or a verse thing or whatever, and then write words to that. And so that's typically my approach. I've worked with vocalists who will refuse to record anything until they have lyrics and melody already there and ready to go. So it really depends on the vocalist, but I do enjoy it when a vocalist comes with their own lyrics and their own ideas as well, because it makes it nice to just work like that. But I also like working on the lyrics and the melody together, so okay, it really depends on who it is. Like you.
Okay, so listening to the Dirty Bird podcast, Claude Von Stroke touted you as the one to watch for in 2021. Yeah. Is this? Do you notice a noticeable bump up in online interest and sales when something like that happens?
Yeah, I don't think I'm all that privy to how my presence is changed by stuff like that. I just find anytime someone gives me a shout out is nice. People might hit me up and be like, "Oh, did you hear this?" or so on and so forth, but I'm constantly making music, so that's really where my head's at.
Girl, you know I love you.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm DJ Waugh, and that was a portion of my interview with Lebelski from last spring. This is the Fun Drive edition of the show. The station offers a unique blend of spoken word and music programming found nowhere else but here. We rely on listeners' pledges to allow us to continue providing you with this content. So head on over to CITR.ca/donate and pledge your support to the station. This is part of my Adam Kay interview, another taste of what you can hear on Techno Progressivo every second Sunday. Over the years, you have produced a lot of vocal tracks. When you're doing this, how do you approach writing the lyrics? Do you make them, or do you encourage your artists to make them, or what do you do?
I love to have full songs delivered to me, lyrics and everything. However, I've had to write a lot of lyrics on my own, or with singers. Since I'm not a great storyteller, but I can rhyme, so I have this kind of process where I usually will just like hum a rhythm or a melody, And when we're like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then, you know, I'll put in some random words. And then, you know, we make a few lines that kind of sound like that. And we fill in more words. And it's mostly just, you know, a lot of rhyming love songs, a little story, a lot of rhyming.
Your label, Hotbox Digital, is nearing its 15th year anniversary. How do you think the label has managed to stay relevant despite changing trends in dance music and even the popularity of dance music?
For me, I don't look at it as like a label. I just look at it as my avenue to actually release, right? I look at I don't think that labels themselves, unless there's very few of them that have a value to the brand. I think it mostly has to do with the artists and the actual music that's being released. So I think, you know, Hotbox has stayed alive over the years because we've had the opportunity to work with such awesome artists. And that's, you know, if those artists disappeared, then Hotbox would disappear as well.
You did mention Soha earlier. So what is the current state of Adam K and Soha as a production duo? And or are you both solo at this time?
Yeah, we're working solo. I mean, Soha and I have been close friends for a very, very long time, and we write music back and forth still to this day. But, you know, he's working on his solo music, and I've been working on my own solo music and other collaborations. We will definitely come together again, you know. I actually look forward to that day. I think, like, for him to do the same kind of music over and over again is, like, that's like a death sentence as far as an artist for him, right? And for me, I don't mind because I just keep looking for ways to, you know, just to kind of push the sound forward that much further. And every time I get like a 2% change, I'm like, oh, that's so big. But then it's like the same song over and over again. So we look at it, we look at the art a little bit differently. And for that, I think he needed to spread his wings and kind of fly back to, you know, some of the styles and sounds that have influenced his creativity over the years, which is you know, just he's got such eclectic taste, you know, so.
Body's grooving. Get down, get high, get down.
over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you have absolutely loved to play at and hopefully can play at again if the world ever becomes normal?
You know, my favorite country to play in is Canada. And I have done so many events across this country that I, you know, and met so many cool people and played in small bars, and I played at outdoor festivals, you know, just so many great ones. Kelowna doing, used to do their Canada Day festival every year, Center of Gravity. That's, you know, obviously just awesome. And celebrities in Vancouver. And, you know, I played so many, you know, random venues in Victoria. I love the West Coast. I'm into that kind of vibe.
On the flip side of those great events, have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong for you?
Oh, yeah. Ministry of Sound. I played Tool Room Night. That was for Mark Knight. And in the middle of my set, this was like probably like my 15th or 20th time DJing. I was not experienced at all. And I accidentally flipped the crossfader over, and my sound went silent for like seriously like 3 to 4 minutes.
Oh,
and I cleared the dance floor completely. And I was like mortified.
This is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. This is the Fun Drive edition of the show. The station offers a blend of musical and spoken word shows made possible with donations from listeners. Head over to citr.ca/donate to pledge to help us continue offering this range of programming to you. This show offers a selection of DJ interviews and guest mixes. Here's one final look at this from my conversation with Montreal-based DJ and producer Mistress Barbara. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Okay, this is DJ Waugh speaking to Montreal-based DJ and producer Mistress Barbara, an absolute legend and veteran of the techno and international club scene. She's been producing and DJing since the 90s and continues to do so until this day. So she's played a list of enviable gigs, Space in Miami, Stereo in Montreal, and everything else in between. She's also featured on BBC's Essential Mix, and to add to this, she's been released on a number of iconic labels, her own Aeternum label, along with InTech, Tronic, and Bedrock, just to name a few. So it truly is a pleasure to be speaking to her. This is Mistress Barbara. Okay, so to begin with, how would you define your sound?
Wow, my sound, well, as a DJ, obviously, very techno. Like everyone else, maybe like 15 years ago, a bit of a drop in energy. We were all going towards more melodic, more minimal. Lasted a few years, but in general, in 25 years career, you know, more maybe 20 years or more in that was full on techno. That's as a DJ. As a producer, it's another story because I'm very versatile and I've produced, you know, a lot of techno, I've produced some house, I've produced pop music, and I was always against changing my name for every different project. There's two schools of thoughts, I guess. Some people say if you make this kind of music, you need to have another name. If you make techno, this name, and, you know. And I'm against it because I think an artist should be, you know, free to make whatever music he wants to make. And if people don't like, they can skip. But if they're not if they have to have 10 different names for 10 different styles, otherwise they get confused and it actually hurts the artist, I find it stupid. However, that's exactly what happened to me. So, you know, I was hurt by my choices in the past. I should have had different names. I refused. And so I confused a lot of people, including my fans, including promoters. It did affect my gigs, and that's too bad for me. But that was my choice.
Is there anything about the combination of growing up in Italy and then Montreal that inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I am European. I lived in Montreal for most of my life now, of course, but I'm still very European at heart. I'm Italian. I have friends, lots of DJ and producer friends from Italy. I looked up to them a lot when I started DJing, you know, like Gaetano Paris or Marco Carola. And all that sound was very appealing to me, and also the Swedish sound, not because I'm Swedish, but just because, you know, that was my main thing for me, was really Europe. You know, I was never a Detroit kind of techno fan. Yeah, people might say, ooh, whatever. That's the truth. Detroit techno wasn't, and what's weird is that all European were trying to replicate what was being done in Detroit, but not everyone. Lots of them, but I always prefer the European sound. And yeah, so is it because I'm Italian? Is it because that's my taste? I don't know. But in general, European techno was more full, busy, and Detroit was more empty. Not empty as in soulless, because it's not. That's not what I'm saying. But more like less, fewer elements, just very, very, you know, few drums, few melodies, and that's it. And I've always like that rolling sound, and to be able to make rolling techno you need more elements, and maybe that's what I like, maybe because I'm a drummer more than because I'm Italian, because my first instrument was that I picked up was the drums when I was way before I was even a teenager. And maybe that's why, because when you're a drummer, you want to play more than just a snare and a cymbal. You play a lot, and I have a big drum, right? So maybe that's why I like more full techno, rolling techno.
Okay, when you got started through the 90s in Montreal, first of all, what was the club scene like? And was it easy to find clubs to showcase your brand of techno at?
Yeah, well, when I started, there was the Playground, then Sauna opened. That was a major hit, like the best best ever After Hours Club. That was amazing. Sauna was the place where I played a lot. I can't say that it was home to the kind of sound I was playing, but because it was such a great club and they were having so much international talent coming through, there were also Europeans coming through with that sound. But of course, it was more locals also in North Americans, just because it's always easier to, you know, back then in the 90s, you know, the superstar DJ thing was just starting. So the people coming were more close to the city, you know, whether it was the rest of Canada or locally, or maybe people from the States. So that European sound was played at Sauna, but not that much. So when I was actually bringing it in freshly from Europe, yeah, I was one of the only ones playing that kind of sound in the city, and people liked it a lot. And then with festivals, you know, being born, more and more European came by, and yeah, then it's the rest is history.
Trance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, break beat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
We are all done for another Fun Drive episode of Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. This is 101.9 CITR. It's been a great year on the show with wall-to-wall guest mixes and interviews. Head over to citr.ca/donate to pledge to allow us to continue offering programming like this to you. This year's the station's goal is $25,000, and you can help us with that. Remember to check out Techno Progressivo's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages to stay up to date with the show. If you've enjoyed the show and want to listen again, check out the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca, at Apple Podcasts, and all of your other favorite podcasting sites. Before we go, though, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. For this one, let's hop back 15 years in time to 2008. This is Dutch producer Sander van Doorn with a classic called The Bass. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.